Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America elected its first openly gay bishop on Friday in California. Wake up, Martin Luther.
Welcome to the future. Is this committee really prepared to go to the south side of Chicago in neighborhoods that have never seen a father? And are you really prepared to tell those people that kids don't need a mother and father?
The day of grace is today. The day of grace is every day, and the day of grace is forever.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Some of these characters from church history, we hear the names like Boniface of Mainz, but the history, we're very shady on the history of these men. Boniface was an 8th century missionary, also a bit of a reformer to the Germans, before the Germans were even Christian, or at least before all of them, or many of them were Christian. What was the pagan life like in Germany when this missionary, Boniface of Mainz, ended up there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 5th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. David Coles will join us from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll talk about Boniface of Mainz being remembered by the church on this day. Pastor Clement Preuss joins us after that. We're going to begin a six-part series with him on the task of an evangelist. Today, it's probably better to talk to one person 10 times than it is to talk to 10 persons only once. We'll take that apart. Get a good definition of what an evangelist is really supposed to be doing. A little bit later in the program, we're going to review a sermon preached last month by Emergent Church leader Brian McLaren. It's called Getting Blessed. He doesn't have a lot of time for traditional theology. He has a theology of his own, and we'll hear what it's like in the course of that sermon review coming up a little later on the program. Then we'll round everything off with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morth of the Ruth Institute. We'll talk about a new survey on the rise of female family breadwinners. It's quadrupled since 1960. We'll see what she thinks about that. Dr. David Coles, Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Coles, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you. Good to be with you.
He is known as a missionary to the German people in the 8th century. In the 8th century, what was kind of the religious landscape of Germany like?
Well, the area was only partially evangelized. I mean, some of the Germanic tribes had become Christian a lot earlier, like the Franks, for example. The baptism of Clovis was back in the end of the 5th century in 496. And others had been converted even earlier, like the Visigoths in the 4th century. But the area that's modern Germany was still largely pagan, or there was a lot of syncretism. The mission of Boniface was not only to convert the unconverted, but also to correct mistakes in the doctrine of those who were Christian in Germany at that time.
When you say pagan, what kind of paganism are we talking about that had persisted in the 8th century in Germany? What was the particular religion or religions like?
Well, I think it's similar to, you know, what we see in the Norse mythology, you know, Woden and Thor and the gods of the Germanic gods that are mentioned in some of the sources. So I think that's sort of the type of paganism that we're talking about.
You use the term syncretism. Explain exactly what kind of situation that is.
Well, syncretism is the sort of the mixture of Christianity with non-Christian elements from paganism or another non-Christian religion. And so that's something that we see in every age of Christianity. But, of course, in the Middle Ages it was probably more common because there was it was before the age of the printing press, so not too many people had the Word of God in their libraries. And also there was the language of Germany was changing. I mean, there was Latin was the language of the church, and they had the Latin Mass, but Boniface complains that they didn't know, the priest didn't know how to, they didn't seem to understand what they were saying. You know, they would say instead of in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, they would get the endings wrong. They'd say in nomine Patria et Filia and that sort of thing. So one of the things that Boniface did was to write a Latin grammar so that the clergy would understand the message of the Mass. So first, even before you could get the laity to understand the message of Christianity, then you had to get the clergy straightened out as well.
It sounds like Boniface was, in addition to being kind of a classic 8th century missionary, planting churches and whatnot, he was also a bit of a reformer there in Germany.
That's right, yes, because since Clovis's time, at that time, of course, France and Germany were really one area. They're sometimes called Francia in the books that talk about that period. And we're in the sort of 50 years before Charlemagne crowned emperor of Francia. So the Merovingian dynasty had been in charge of that area, both France and Germany, but their commitment to Christianity was not very strong, and therefore there were a lot of abuses in the church, you know, clergymen who were not really committed to Christianity. Maybe they were just a nobleman or nepotism, that sort of thing. So yes, you're right. So Boniface worked with the Carolingians, who were not yet in charge, but Pippin was one of the allies of Boniface, and Charles Martel, Pippin's father and Charlemagne's grandfather, had defeated the Muslims at the Battle of Tours not long before, really during the time that of the mission of Boniface, namely in the year 737.
He is also known for founding monasteries in the course of his missionary work. Why was that at the time kind of part and parcel of what a good missionary would do in pagan lands?
Well, the tradition started back with St. Patrick, for example, in Ireland, and spread to England as England was and Scotland were re-evangelized after the Germanic invasions of the Angles and the Saxons and the Jutes. And so they had this practice called a peregrinatio. So a monk would, after being in one monastery, say, for 25 years, would move together with 12 others, sort of mimicking Christ and the 12 apostles, and start a new monastery in a new area, and often a pagan area. So in that way, we can see that monasticism was very important for the mission work of that early medieval period. Boniface, whose original name was Winfrith, he was English, comes out of that tradition and continues this practice by founding the famous monastery at Fulda and other monasteries.
How does he become Archbishop of Mainz?
Well, inasmuch as he was not only a missionary but a reformer, he convoked a series of church councils, not ecumenical councils, but regional councils in for the Frankish Church from 742 to 747, and because of the problems the church had at that time. And thereafter, then, he was named the Archbishop of Mainz. Mainz, of course, was a center for Christianity that dates back to the Roman period, as well as Trier and other cities that were still important in Luther's time, and the archbishops of those cities were some of the electors of Germany later on. And so that seems to be the reason he became Archbishop of Mainz, although then he decided to go back to his missionary work among the Frisians, where he was martyred in 754.
Do we know how he died, with a minute or so here before we wrap up our conversation?
Well, I was just reading a book here about Boniface, and apparently he was on the coast of what today would be Holland, and some pirates, this was really before the famous Viking invasions, but they would start just about 50 years later. And so these pagan Vikings attacked his group, and they stole some trunks he had, hoping to get loot from them. Actually, they were full of manuscripts, because of the great commitment that Boniface had towards education and the copying of manuscripts. But that seems to have been the way he died. And unexpectedly, he was. I don't think he was planning to be a martyr, but I guess that certainly added to his importance and prestige in the medieval church, given the importance of the saints and the hagiography at that time.
Then finally, what's the would you say is his leading contribution to the church historic, to the church today?
Well, I think that he ushers in a new period in the development of medieval Christianity, which you can see it, for example, in the hagiographical literature. Up to that time, there was a real emphasis on miracles and the performance of miracles by great saints of the church, going back to Martin of Tours, who was back in the 4th century. But Boniface's emphasis was more on mission. So really, his priority was not to do miracles, even though he may have done some or allegedly done some. But his emphasis was on education and missionary activity. And so he believed that the conversion would happen through the Word of God. So that was his emphasis. He was not trying to have power encounters to win over the pagans, but rather just to preach the Word and let the Holy Spirit do his work. And in that sense, he influenced both the later missionaries, people like Cyril and Methodius and Anskar and many others, and also contributed to the Carolingian Renaissance and the work of reforming the Church of Charlemagne and the great theologians like Alcuin of York and Theodulf of Orleans, who came in the next generation.
Dr. David Coles is Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Coles, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, the 5th of June, we're going to begin a 6-part series on the task of an evangelist with Pastor Clement Preuss, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. We'll be right back.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Rod Rosenblatt, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, Al Schmidt, Suzanne Venker, and Todd Wilkin? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.